Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody. This is Dean with the Two Party Podcast, and I'm on here with Mark. And Mark, I don't want to slay your name because I'm really, every guest on here knows this. Mark Cius?
Cius.
Cius.
I'm used to being called Cius enough times that I don't even.
I do it every time. Every guest that comes on the show, I end up messing up their name. So you're just one of the crowd, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Mark, for the audience, Mark is a former critical care nurse, wrestler, an author, entrepreneur. He's a course creator. Mark has authored with his wife a book called A Golden Pen, and we'll touch on that. He owns a very successful notary business, as well as Notary Prosperity Academy, which is a business they built up to give courses and lessons, I'm assuming, for other people wanting to get in the business. First off, let's talk about who you are, Mark. And we talked a little bit before the show, but let's go ahead and get in for the audience who you are, your background, and you know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, yeah. So you hit a lot of it. I mean, you hit the high points. I was a critical care nurse for about 15 years. And kind of bounced around as an agency nurse to different intensive care units. And like I said before, it's a great living. It's an honest living, but it's also a very stressful job. And it's hard work. Nurses are hard. They're hard workers. So my hat's off to all of them. I think that probably a lot of nurses can relate to that, that you're always kind of looking for maybe something better somewhere. And that was definitely me. That's actually, when you said I was a wrestler, that's actually the wrestling was one of my early attempts to escape nursing.
Now, wait, was it regular state wrestling or were we doing WWF?
We're talking WWF. So actually,
that's awesome.
So they had their training school in over in Tampa, Florida Championship Wrestling. That was like their, now I think they call it NXT. They've kind of rebranded it a little bit, but that was kind of their proving ground. And so I went over there and I did that for a little while, for like around 6 months. Very grueling.
Yeah, people don't realize, like, you know, you get these people that are like, man, wrestling's fake. Dude, you go in there for some of those practices, those guys get beat up.
You get beat up, and it's very, it's definitely harder than nursing.
Yeah.
I was thinking, hey, this will be fun. It'll be like being a kid again when you wrestle with your friends. But it's not. It's very demanding.
Yep.
And, you know, you go through a 10-minute match. You sit, it's one thing to watch it on TV and go, yeah, this is neat. It's amusing. It's fake. It's dramatized. But it's very physical. And I was in really great shape. And I still was like, man, this is a
sport. People don't realize these guys are athletes.
Yes. And so I felt like I probably shouldn't put my body through too much more of that abuse.
Right.
So I went right back to nursing.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, there are matches out there on the internet that I've been in.
We may have to find those. We may have to tag some of those in here. That's super cool. So nursing, and then we talked a little about before the show. So you nursing was your thing for the longest time. You did branch out wrestling and branched out on different avenues.
Yes.
And what initially brought you through those avenues and into what you do now. Continue on. Tell us a little more.
So I was coming through the end of one of my contracts, and this contract was going to give me a bonus. And basically, I would have a little bit of time before I'd find my next contract. A lot of times what I would do is in the summer is I just take like a per diem job and just kind of buy my time till the next big contract came along in the fall.
Yeah.
And as it was coming up to that, I originally had gotten an insurance license, a life insurance license, and thought I'd try my hand at that. And the idea actually came from a friend of mine. He was in South Florida and he's like, yes, I'm selling health insurance and I'm making really good money with it. And I like doing it. And I thought, well, I didn't know there was any money in it at all.
Right.
And there is, if you're good at it.
Yeah.
So I looked at it and I was like, okay, the license isn't really difficult to get. It's not expensive. Let me just go ahead and do that. And while he was doing health insurance, the life insurance is actually less complicated and more and pays higher. So I figured I would take my hand at that, and it worked well for a while. And that while was the window in which I was selling people who knew me or people who knew me and would refer me to someone.
Yeah.
And when that dried up, it came down to brass tacks, which is, do you know how to run a business? Do you know how to market yourself? Do you know how to generate leads? And as a nurse for 15 years, I did not know how to do that. So then you find yourself in, and I found myself in a position where you're basically a sucker. You know, I was a sucker. I paid money for bad leads for too long. And I listened to bad advice too. You know, I mean, I have, you'll have a managing general agent who will tell you, just keep pouring money into leads. And it's like, well, if I'm not getting a return on investment here, I'm
exactly. I think I don't remember exactly, but I remember when one of the business courses I took early in college for business school is, and this was way back in the day, things have changed now, but I remember our professor saying, hey, if you put out, you know, $100,000 and you don't get back 20,000 in leads, at least 10%, he's like, then whatever you're doing is wrong and you're in the wrong business, you know? And so I've literally lived by that. Every business I've ever built or started, I've literally said, if I'm not making 10% of what output I'm doing, I'm screwed. And it was my sign to get out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And so same thing. I was like, you know, I eventually, fortunately, I did figure out how to generate leads and how to sustain it. And even that is a bit of a, it's still, you're kind of still on a treadmill. And because you're kind of running from lead to lead, and you can build up a book of business and over time to where it's not so grueling, but initially, you know, especially initially, it's a lot of work. It's no more less hard work than any other job that I've had. But there's also a lot at stake because you are running a business and
it's your money.
It's your money. And the other thing is that if you don't have a boss telling you what to do, you've got to be the one that tells you what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the biggest advice for anybody who ever wants to start their own business is if you can self-start and you can decide these are things that I just have to do, even though there's not going to be payment immediately, then you're a good fit for it.
If you're somebody who keeps the motivation. I think sometimes, you know, people don't realize as a business owner, like, you know, you work your tail off, you know, your first year of business, they say, is always the hardest. That's when you have to dedicate the most into a business. And I remember even my construction businesses. I mean, I would work 24, my wife would be like, what are you doing? I mean, I'd be coming home at 9 o'clock at night and I'm still sitting there doing leads and estimates. And so, yeah, I mean, you have to not only want it, but you have to have the motivation, even if the money's not there yet.
Yes. You have to have the vision that it's going to work out. We're not there yet. You know, we're not there yet. I got to put hours in because we're not there yet. And, I've definitely been there, and it even ebbs and flows, you know. Mm-hmm. The business we run now, our notary business, it's had very high points where it was like, we aren't working a lot. We've got vendors that are subcontractors doing stuff for us. Let's go on vacation. Let's this, let's that. And then you've had it at back where there's like, well, looks like we're back to the drawing board. Let's make some markets.
Everybody's tapping the pencils on the desk and like, what are we doing here?
So I've seen all sides of that. How I came into the notary business was I was looking for a way basically to generate more insurance leads and figured that a notary commission, the people are in demand. Usually the people who are looking to have that kind of stuff done are usually in a position in their life where they may be looking to have insurance, other things evaluated,
insurance, real estate, other things. And chances are they probably have a little bit of money that they're working with as business owners.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah, makes a great client. Yeah,
it did. It did. It worked out very well. And then I learned that it's once somebody knows you and you have a transaction with them, it's really easy to cross sell them. And it's really easy to turn them into a future customer. As long as you do right by them.
Yep.
They come back, you can sell them other things. So have other things to sell them.
Yeah, 100%. Always, you know, I've said that from day one, even some of my early when I was younger and not very smart in things with business, I always took care of the customer. And that was something I think my dad kind of instilled and my mom instilled in me. You know, if you present yourself as an honest person and you provide an honest service, it's going to come back to you.
It will.
And that's all how you talk to your client and deal with your client and you take care of them.
Absolutely. It's easy to look at one client walking through the door or going to meet as just a one-time transactional thing. But I've learned that that is not the case at all. That is a repeat customer with a mouth that will talk to other people that will become repeat customers.
Yep.
So take care of that, nurture those relationships, mm-hmm. and have that, listen to them, listen to their feedback.
Yep.
And that's kind of how we branched out our business. I realized that once I had launched the notary business officially and started branding that, and it took off very well, we were listening to the feedback of our customers, and we realized there were more things that they were looking to spend their money on.
Correct. Yeah. And, yeah. and stuff that you could potentially help them with, you know?
Yes. So that led to a notary business or a mobile notary business that
looking at different facets.
Right. To basically a legal service yeah. business.
Nice. Very nice.
So, and that was basically just market feedback, just looking at people where these same people are also looking to have this done and this done. They're looking to have legal documents done. They might have credit issues they need worked out.
Yep.
They might need, we do fingerprinting as part of our business. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, it's they get in a new job. So they met me to have an I-9 done as a notary, yep. but it turns out that employer needs their fingerprints too.
Yeah, and background check, the whole nine. Yeah.
Yep. So it's I learned to just kind of gel them all into one business model. And that's
huge.
It is. Yeah. And took time. I didn't figure that all out overnight, you know?
So all of these skills finally for you ended up kind of getting you to a point where, when did the idea come in for the Notary Prosperity Academy?
So it's interesting that's a great question too. Is people who start doing well, other people start noticing.
Yeah.
And then they want to know, you know, yeah. I mean, when you go to church on Sunday and you show up in a Range Rover, all of a sudden people go,
yeah. They're like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah. What are you doing? You know, and we were gone on vacation for a few weeks and then we show, you know, and so when you start doing that, people start noticing and then they start asking, so what are you really doing? And we initially were trying to coach people and realized there's a bit of a time vampire there. And also was, you know, we as business owners, I can't detract myself from my general work that I do. If I was to time it out on an hourly basis, which is very hard, as you know, as a business owner, very hard to really do that.
It fluctuates. Because you never know. Yeah.
Right. Two to 500 an hour. but if that's where I'm at, if I'm over $100 an hour and I'm trying to coach somebody for a couple hours here and there, it's like, well, you should be really paying a lot for that.
Yeah.
So then the question came in, and I got to give my wife credit for the coaching of people. I wanted nothing to do with it. I said, hey, if they want to run a business, let them go figure out how to run a business.
Yeah. Let them crash and burn. I already tried. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And she was like, well, I don't know. You know, I mean, maybe we have something to offer here. And I said, yeah, we've got a lot to offer. We've got that. And as I'm laying it out, it's like, that's my book. You know, like how I figured out all these things. That's the book. That's like, okay, well, yeah, we figured out all this stuff. And so she was the one who was like, let's coach some people. Let's get some feedback. And we kind of collectively realized that we could reach more people. And it would be more affordable for them and more practical for us if we just took, we kind of masterclass it. Like, okay, let me just take everything that I've learned and continue to learn and condense it into an accessible resource rather than having to repeat it over and over with somebody.
Yeah. So, make it into something that's a format where you can literally turn to it and have key points that you go over.
Absolutely. And the crazy thing is like I look at like my nursing career, like I paid, I don't know, over $10,000 to go to college and got a good, like I said, a good, honest living. You know, there's a career there. I still have my license. I still keep it up to date, but there's a good, honest career, but I paid $10,000 for it. So
when
you put that in perspective, like I have a course that's, I don't know, it's a few hundred dollars.
Yeah,
but you're getting way more than the nursing ever gave me.
I mean, and you're saving yourself from everything you had to do to get there.
Exactly. There was a lot of, like I said, when you first get into it, if you don't know, or you don't have somebody to tell you, you're going to have sucker written all over you.
Right.
And the vultures will come out
everywhere.
Yep.
Yep. I don't know. I look over the years of like, I think we touched a little bit on this. I mean, some of the money I've wasted on, you know, back in the day before I was really getting better, got my head around how business works and, you know, all the Chamber of Commerce's and, you know, all the expenses and fees that I had paid as a beginning business owner and multiple businesses that I owned. I just, the money you just toss out there and you don't realize, like, well, that money may or may not benefit me. You know, right. I may throw out, I may become a member of the Chamber of Commerce. I may or may not get a good networking. You know, I may not have the time this year working to actually network with the Chamber of Commerce. So sometimes, like, you throw a lot of money out that's not necessary for business. And so, like you said, by you guys offering that class, being able to offer a format, you kind of save people those mistakes.
I basically, so like, and not to go totally self-promoting, but I tell people where the cheapest stuff is, where the most reliable stuff is. I tell them where to advertise, where not to advertise.
I do the same thing. People, you know, in construction business alone, I was in construction 27 years, you know, and so I get people that come to me as a general contractor, project manager. People come to me and they're like, you know, I want to do this, this, and this. And I throw out names and they're like, wait, so you don't want to do it? And it's like, that's not that I don't want to do it, but I'm a general contractor who's going to ask you to go get 5 bids before you come to me. Because honestly, I want you to shop around. I want you to do your, you know, educate yourself on, am I the best contractor for you? Are you looking for budget? Am I the cheapest? Am I the most expensive? Am I middle ground for you? But at the same time, I used to always tell my clients, I don't ever want you to just come to me, hand me a project, tell me, take it, Dean, let's go with it. And me just be that contractor that's like, sweet, we got another paycheck coming in. And I was never that way. So I would, exactly like you just said, I would give them other contractors' names, cheap labor, cheap subcontractors. You need a drywall guy, I've got him. You know, do you want the guy who's fully licensed and has a full crew, or do you want the guy who just literally probably can't even give you the green card? You know, and they're like, well, we'll take whoever, you know. And so I leave that in their hands. But at the same time, it's like, I'm always the guy to have to offer them the better service or cheaper service if they want it. I always tell them, like, I can give you exactly what you want and I'll provide you exactly the service. You'll get the result you want. However, I want you, before we commit to a contract, I want you to shop around. And they'd always look at me funny, like, what kind of a contractor does that? you know, 27 years of construction, 40 different states, industrial, commercial, and residential. I'm the guy that does that because I've been through the biggest mistakes you can make in construction. And I've also done some of the best projects and had success. And I want my client to get what they deserve.
Right. And I think in all reality too, that probably works better because you instill more confidence in people, for sure. Look, I can stand by when we do that with our pricing. And I teach that to people like in our course, I tell people how to price because I've already tested these prices and I already know. And if you will just stand firm on those prices, don't chase a buck.
People will take them. Yeah.
Yes. If you just stand firm on them and say, this is the cost of doing this business, they will take that price.
And it was the same even with construction. It's almost any business, but it was the same. You know, you get guys that come in and they undercut your budget, your estimate, you know, and I'd tell the customer, you get what you pay for. You know, you might spend $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 with me extra than what this guy's bidding, but I promise you, you're going to have headaches, you know, and that's not tooting my own horn. I've seen this before. When somebody undercuts a certain price, where are they getting their materials from? What quality of labor are you getting? What is the processes they're using for safety on your job that you're liable for under your insurance policy? And those are things people don't think about. You know?
No. Those are points to ponder. It's funny because like you're a master at your industry. So, you know, like, I already know what you're going to, I already know that pitfall you're walking into.
Yeah.
And I see you walking into it.
Yep.
And we do, you know, we have the same thing, like a parallel would be, and I just wrote a blog about this. I called the blog, The Myth of Free Notarization. Mm-hmm. And because it's a myth.
Yeah.
And I'll see like on Nextdoor and some of these, oh, well, you can just go to the bank and have the notary there do it for free.
Yeah.
And the reality is that they will do certain things for free and they will do the majority of the things they won't do at all. They just, there's contracts and there's documents they don't want to touch for liability reasons. And especially anything estate related, anything real estate related, they are not going to touch it. And those are the most common things that people need. So the bank is kind of in a sheltered position where they're only going to do very limited risk engagement activities. So what happens is they will end up going from bank to bank to bank looking for their free notary. Waste an hour of their day and go, I should have just paid this guy to just do it and
be
done with it.
And be done. Go about your day.
Right. So it's like, what's your time worth? You know,
I watched a really good, not a podcast. It was a live video last night.